Present meditation is a follow-up on the previous one. We said that three basic mysteries of our faith that are the foundation of a consecrated life: our faith in Christ's divinity, faith in the Holy Eucharist, and faith in the papal primacy. Our faith in Christ's divinity means that we believe whatever Christ said as man, he spoke with human lips and was heard by human ears. Whatever Jesus spoke as man, he spoke as the all-truthful God, using his human nature to convey mysteries that had never been revealed before. Our present reflections are on faith in the Holy Eucharist. Let's be clear on what we mean by faith. Faith is the assent of the human mind to everything which God has revealed. Not because we comprehend, but only because the one who reveals is the all-knowing and all-truthful God. Basically, in this meditation, we'll ask ourselves why. Why is faith in the Holy Eucharist indispensable for living, consecrated living of the consecrated life? The reason is because the Holy Eucharist is our principal source of grace for living a religious life. Before we go any further, I will dare say that we are only as sound religious as our faith in the Holy Eucharist is firm and unqualified. And as I've said more than once, on two occasions, called by the Holy Father's secretary to be told, 86 and 88, do everything you can, everything, to strengthen the faith in the Holy Eucharist among Catholics who still believe, and restore that faith among former Catholics who have lost it. And this especially includes priests and religious. As we know, the present Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, clarify, we've always been the teaching of the Church that clarified that when we speak of the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, we are really speaking about a triple mystery. Now, the Holy Eucharist is at once the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass, the communion sacrament of Holy Communion, and the present sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. On each of these three levels, the Eucharist gives us graces without which I don't say that his life would be difficult, would be impossible. There would not be a consecrated life in the world today except for the Holy Eucharist. No way. We begin then by asking ourselves, how does the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass make our religious life even livable, not to say as it should be, enjoyable? Notice, for each of these three, we are speaking of the Eucharist as a sacrament, meaning something visible instituted by Christ, which confers the grace which it signifies. How we need to realize the Mass is a sacrament. And now, whatever else consecrated life is, pardon me, whatever consecrated life should be, it should be a life of sacrifice. I keep repeating the standard definition of sacrifice: voluntary surrender of something precious to God. What do we as religious surrender? By our consecrated chastity, we surrender the right we have from God to marry, have a lifetime spouse, and with God's help, bring children into the world. Does anyone doubt that, humanly speaking, we all want a human being to belong to us, and we belong to him or her? Does anyone doubt that the instinctive, spontaneous, natural desire is to reproduce ourselves? We sacrifice marriage and a natural human family. By our consecrated poverty, we sacrifice. Pardon me, we should sacrifice our independent possession and use of whatever has material value. Is that ever a natural, spontaneous instinct? We sacrifice that natural instinct. And if there is one thing that we cherish, we all know, It is especially our own, and I have to add, independent free will. How spontaneously we want to assert our wills. I've said this so many times, you won't be surprised. 15 years, brought up in all woman household. I learned many things. One thing I learned, women have a strong, pardon me for saying, self-will. In trying to explain it, in teaching moral theology, I explain it as saying it is part of a woman's maternal instinct. A mother better assert her will. I just watched babies. What they won't do over the years, almost every medicine I've used on the label, protected from, well, child, whatever word they use, misuse, manipulation. Everything can be physically opened, even to a child. It will be opened. And by our vows of consecrated obedience, we surrender that precious treasure of our own sweet self-will. However, there is a fourth sacrifice. I'm speaking about religious consecrated life, which by definition implies living in a community. Talk about self-sacrifice. Living with others. Needless to say, they all have a will of their own. And for women religious, I must have said this by now a dozen times, for men religious to live together in peaceful, loving harmony is not easy. For women religious to live in such peaceful, loving harmony is humanly impossible. All of this is made possible, and I repeat, enjoyable, only in the measure that we believe that Christ in the sacrifice of the Mass, and not just, note, the Masses that we personally attend or participate in physically. Every Mass throughout the world converts grace, gives grace to the whole world. In each case, we need the grace to surrender ourselves and surrender ourselves in the ways we've described for a lifetime. Christ had no choice. He had to institute the sacrament sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist. Otherwise, frankly, we wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be a community called the Handmaids of the Precious Blood. And there sure would not be a Society of Jesus. Why then did Christ institute the Holy Eucharist? First reason, to provide us with the graces we need to sacrifice ourselves. But let me be very clear. I've talked to too many people. I know too many religious. And religious can survive in, well, their consecrated life. There are not a few advantages. You got, shall I call it, congenial company. Lifetime support. Recognition and respect from others. And for those engaged in the active apostolate, you've got a job. But the key to receiving this grace is faith. Faith unlocks this treasury. And I never tire, and will not until my last breath, tire repeating, we are to grow in our understanding of what we believe. Understanding here the Eucharist as the sacrifice of the Mass. We believe Holy Eucharist is necessary, indispensable for living a consecrated life. And here, the communion sacrament of Holy Communion. Whatever else consecrated life is meant to be, it is meant to be a channel of grace for sanctity. And not coincidentally, the sacrament of the Eucharist, where we receive Jesus Christ, is called Holy Communion for two obvious reasons. Because the one whom we receive is the all-holy God in human form. And because Holy Communion is the principal channel of sanctity. Now we ask, since remember, the Eucharist is a sacrament three times over, how precisely, in theological language, is Holy Communion a sacrament? It is a sacrament by giving us the grace of generosity. Christ comes to us. There is nothing, nothing that God Himself could. What a statement. There was nothing that God Himself could give us more generous, more self-giving than Himself. And God became man. He knows how well He knows that we are human beings of flesh and blood. Human beings, well, with sense faculties. We have eyes that can see, a tongue that can taste, hands that can touch, ears that can hear, and as centuries of the church's saints have told us, God became man so we would know, we, human beings, with our senses, my God. Among the words of the church's infallible magisterial teaching, for me, one of the most satisfying is the Latin verb which we've used more than once in our retreats. The Latin verb of the Council of Trent, defining the real presence. Totus Christus continetur, the verb contained. The whole Christ is contained. What are we talking about? You don't use the verb contained unless you imply there's a container. What is the container? Hear it. The container is the visible, sensibly perceptible properties of what had been bread and had been wine. A little large to illustrate, but the watch keeps time. Well, it is contained in, well, in this container. Inside the container is the watch. Outside the container is, well, air, whatever else. Inside the container, which is, I repeat, the physical properties of what had been bread, watch it, and had been wine. Within those external properties is contained. This is your faith and mine, is contained the living Son of God who became the Son of Mary. Should I say it? No less than Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, was contained in the womb of His mother while she carried Him for 9 months. So the same identical totus Christus, whole Christ, is contained within what had been the physical properties of bread and wine. Let me tell you, and not only because I've been told in the most explicit terms by the Vicar of Christ. I repeat, strengthen the faith of those Catholics who still believe. Restore faith in those who have lost it. Among still nominal Catholics, faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ being on earth and we receiving him in his human body, in our human bodies, in Holy Communion. And then, what is the distinctive Eucharistic grace that we receive from Christ when we receive him in his humanity into our humanity? We receive grace of selfless love. First, selfless love for God. I know what I'm talking about. Oh, what bargainers we can be. I mean bargainers with God. Selfless love of the God from whom we came. And to possess whom we are destined, expecting we do something for God, and we expect, being human, well, something in return. Like what? Like consolations. Like emotional satisfaction. But concretely, Holy Communion is especially the Holy Eucharist to give us the grace we need to love other human beings selflessly. So I thought I'd bring a copy of the Bible and read what by now I'm sure we all know by heart. This is Christ's Remember, Prediction of the Last Day. He had just foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. Within one generation, Jerusalem was wiped out. So I told so many students over the years, and Judaism disappeared. What goes by the name of Judaism is Pharisaism. The Judaism, which God instituted in the Old Testament, was the religion of temple sacrifice. You will think after 1900 years, the temple would be restored. No. And Christ foretold the destruction of Jerusalem in order that those who believe in him would also believe that there would be a last day of the world on which the human race would be judged finally on this one virtue of selfless charity. As we all know, no longer the suffering Christ, no longer the unknown Nazarene, now the King of the world. He'll first call those who are saved. And let's be honest, what else do we want? What else do we hope for? What else except to hear the words of Jesus? Come, you blessed of my Father, possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And then the condition. Of all the litany of virtues, the one virtue on which our salvation depends is the virtue of selfless charity towards everyone whom God puts into our lives for this reason. When I was hungry and you gave me to eat, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, I was ill and you comforted me, in prison and you came to visit me. And then remember the saved. How we hope we'll be among those who will ask that question. When did we see you hungry and thirsty and naked? And then he will tell us, whatever you did to the least of my brethren, you did to me. And the converse, depart from me. We should have only one desire in life. Hear these words. Come to me. Only one fear in life. Depart from me. How we need Jesus Christ in Holy Communion to practice and for a lifetime practice selfless love of others. And believe you me, people, I don't say can, they will impose on us. People will take advantage of us. In plain English, people will use us. Always prudence is a virtue. But selfless charity is the condition not only of our sanctification, but even of our salvation. And that is what Holy Communion, so your faith and mine, tells us. Holy Communion is a means of doing the humanly impossible, of loving. Do I know what I'm talking about? Of loving people who at least don't seem to love us. Love persons who will give us nothing in return, except maybe, well, a complaint. Finally, we are asking why. Why is faith in the Holy Eucharist absolutely necessary for consecrated life? Because, besides giving us the grace of self-surrender, the grace of selfless generosity. Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist to be with us, among us. He will be casually called the real presence. What do we need? We need to believe. You need it, I need it. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is on earth. And you may be surprised. Jesus Christ was on earth in his visible form. He is still on earth, invisible to our human eyes, but visible to the eyes of faith. To do what? To work miracles. For years now, I have been in lectures, in courses, in counseling people. I tell them, you and I need miracles. You need them in your lives, I need them in mine. And Christ was not speaking rhetorically or metaphorically. He was speaking the literal truth when he said, the miracles you witnessed, I assure you, you will see even greater miracles. Christ is on earth, the divine miracle worker in human form. And I hope I'm talking to the right audience. We need miracles. To live the consecrated life faithfully. I don't mean just is a habit. Thanks, sisters, for wearing your habit. And it is so unqualifyingly identifiable. So much so that the cardinal prefect in Rome told me, I'm so happy. The Henrys of the precious blood. And he said, Father, and they're Americans. Wearing an unqualifyingly distinctive religious habit. But it's not our external habit that makes us religious. It is the internal habit of our souls. We still have, am I correct? 4 more days in the way to go. Am I correct? After today? We'll say more. It is miracles that convert souls. That's why Christ worked miracles in his own visible lifetime on earth. That's why the early church, astounding miracles. Well, the most astounding miracle is human beings walking around on the streets of all countries of the United States, living lives that are beyond human, I don't say human, practice with even human comprehension. As we know from Scripture, one mainly converted a hostile pagan world to Christianity, and it was hostile. To become a Christian meant to expect martyrdom. That was true in the year 97 AD. It is true in the year 1997 AD. The world does not love an authentic, honest-to-God Christian. I know what I'm saying. But even the pagan world in which we are living, seeing us live a faithful religious life, he is astounded, not just surprised. And what the world needs to see is us living lives of union with God, lives of sincere and constant prayer, living lives of unqualified chastity, lives of deep humility, and above all, lives of completely self-sacrificing love of others. And that is what the real presence of Jesus Christ on earth is to give us. The grace of living, and I mean every syllable, the grace of living miraculous lives. Why? Because we believe. We believe that the same Jesus who raised Lazarus from the dead is the Jesus now on earth in our midst. But the key, remember, the key, as the evangelists tell us, the key is faith. The Almighty in human form, we are told, could not, what a verb, could not work miracles in certain places because of the people's lack of faith. Before I close, let me be very clear. Religious life in today's world needs miracles. Your community needs it. Mine does. And the condition for even survival, not to say growth and development, and especially to bring for you community, Dear Lord, 30 years in working for the Holy See, I know many things which I will never communicate. How the Catholic Church today needs, how she needs holy, self-sacrificing priests. In God's providence, this is your responsibility as a community. And what a safe statement to restore our Catholic priesthood to the sanctity that Christ, the eternal priest, wants. We'll take an ocean of miracles, and please God, the handmaids of the precious blood will be instruments in providing these miracles of grace because of your deep faith in Jesus Christ, present today on earth, the same who walked the streets of Palestine. Mary, Mother of consecrated life, obtain for us religious something of your own deep faith in the Holy Eucharist, so that by believing somewhat as deeply as you did, believing in the sacrifice of the Mass, in Holy Communion, and in your Son's real presence on earth as the God-man, we may obtain from your divine Son the graces we need and the graces the world needs to come to know and love Jesus and possess him for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.